Hey, everybody. What you're about to hear is a free preview of a podcast on our $5 exclusive episodes tier at patreon.com/retronauts. And if you want to hear the whole thing, please go to patreon.com/retronauts and sign up at the $5 exclusive episodes tier. Once you do that, you'll get access to all of our previous exclusive episodes and our future ones as well, as long as you remain a patron, and our exclusive episodes will launch every other Friday. Again, that is the Retronauts Patreon at patreon.com/retronauts, and I'll let you get to this free preview of one of our exclusive episodes. So we're going to cover these games. It's 45 minutes in. Time to talk about video games on the Video Game Podcast. And as we go through these, I will cover them less and less because there are 7 Ren and Stimpy games. We're going to start off with the first one called The Ren and Stimpy Show Space Cadet Adventures for the Game Boy in 1992. And, you know, if you're going to make some licensed game slop, you might as well start with the Game Boy. That's where all the slop went first, usually, around this time at least. It's just where the shovelware was most likely to end up. And this begins the long history of Imagineering and Ren and Stimpy. And if the name of that New Jersey developer sounds familiar to you, it's probably because they developed all of the bad Simpsons games like Bart versus the Juggernauts and Bart versus the Space Mutants and Bart versus the World and Bartman meets Radioactive Man. All of those games have a particular flavor, and that you can find that same flavor here. The floaty controls, the weird looking characters, the lack of time to put this together, and the lack of, let's say, being on brand.
I saw in the credits Dan Kitchen. I was like, oh, a Kitchen's in this one too, just like on Bart versus the Space Mutants. I can see the timing too of like Toy Headquarters, THQ. They were quick on licensing stuff, and I could totally see the time frame being after, you know, the holiday season of 91, they're like, okay, Ren and Stimpy, big deal. Like, they could sign the deal with Nick and very quickly get out something on Game Boy by December. Like, they knew how to, and the Game Boy games are so rudimentary and simple. Like, I can see why it's the only one to hit within a year of, or within the calendar year of the second year of Nicktoons.
Yeah, I wonder if the engine for this game originated with something else that they had.
They were still probably, maybe it's based on Escape from Camp Deadly or something like that, because it looks just as floaty. And I think it might even be the same year as Camp Deadly or right after it. But one thing it has in common with Simpsons games is it cannot possibly do the theme justice. Just like the Simpsons theme, the Ren and Stimpy theme is too musically complex for any software of this generation to render accurately, or the next generation for that matter. So every time there's a Ren and Stimpy game, the theme is massacred, but you hear it so often throughout these games, and it's a real shame. So I won't be using any of the music from these games in this episode. Instead, I'll be using Ren and Stimpy production music, which is delightful.
Yeah, I usually love hearing Game Boy versions of things, like if they're like well composed, like, you know, you get like, I don't know, like the Fallen Brothers or something, like really amazing, composers, or like, you know, some rare games too. It's like they do an incredible job making songs work on the Game Boy, but this one is not. It's like a very sad version of the Ren and Stimpy theme. You can tell they tried, but it's just like, it's rough.
Yeah, it's not like they were, any of these people were given sheet music or anything like that. So they were trying to figure out how the theme flowed musically when there's bongos and this crazy riffing guitar and this jazzy bass line. I can see why it was a big challenge, but nobody pulled it off over the course of these 7 games.
I can see why Ren and Stimpy, they would want to go with it too, because it is like the most, well, it's I'm sure it was the most popular based on how much it got licensed, but also they are active, violent characters who are going to like do stuff. Like it fits for a platformer on some level. And this game at least made the smart move of like, you know, just the Space Cadets. We got these Space Cadets shorts in the first year of the show. So let's just focus on that and stick these characters in space. That way they barely even have to make, you know, a lava level or an ice level or whatever. It's just, you know, outer spacey bullshit.
You only need four levels for these games, it turns out. And it should be noted also that before Stimpy's invention, Space Madness was by far the most popular Ren and Stimpy cartoon, the most quoted, the most beloved. So it makes sense that if they're working this deal out before Stimpy's invention airs, they would zero in on Space Madness and the related space-themed Ren and Stimpy cartoons, which I think there were only two other ones outside of Space Madness.
Yeah, I remember Space Madness being, like, very popular in school. People quoting it all the time and, like, talking about, yeah, the shiny candy-like button and stuff.
Yeah, friends and I would memorize all of Ren's, you know, manic speeches and do it on the playground. It was a real fun time before Stimpy's invention, but not too much to go over through this game. There are four levels. You swap back and forth between Ren and Stimpy. They're rarely together in these games, which I understand why, but that makes it not like a true Ren and Stimpy experience when they're split up so much. Typical Imagineering stuff. If you played Bart versus the Space Mutants or Bart versus the World, you know what I'm talking about. It's these haphazard enemy placements, these aimless level designs, very floaty controls. Ren is a much worse character because he slaps while Stimpy spits hairballs. So he's the melee character, I guess, but the levels aren't arranged around him being a melee character. And if you're watching into the playthrough, just like in Bart versus the Space Mutants, there's an obsession with these just jumping across these very, very tiny platforms. And it reminds me of the mall level in Bart versus the Space Mutants. This is something that only I'm probably mad about. But when I saw that, my blood started boiling. Like, I was like, you did it again!
Now, from the long play I watched, it seemed like it was just like in those Imagineering Simpsons games too, where it's like they are so bad at indicating visually what is a platform and what is a background element, and which is the entire point of platforming games, is to be able to tell what's what and what you can jump on.
Yeah, I fired this one up and I think I got to a part where I just couldn't tell what was a platform and what was an enemy and what was a background. And I was like, all right. Time to move on to the next one.
Yeah, this one is rough.